you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When something, but more specifically, when a person, especially a young person or a young adult, is in need of restoration, it says a number of things about that person. The first thing it says about a young man or a young woman that is in need of restoration is that something in their life is out of place. Something in their life is out of place. And when you or your choices are out of place, You're acting in ways you normally don't act. You're doing things that you know you wasn't raised to do. Something is out of place. And the Lord, because his eye is in every place and he sees everything, we can look good on the outside, be popular amongst our peers. But the Lord knows, and you know, when something in your life is just out of place. The second suggestion that a person is in need of restoration is when something is broken. It's not working right. It needs to be restored. I mean, I'm praying, Lord, but it just don't seem like my prayers are getting through. I'm coming to church, but I'm not leaving the way I should leave. Something in your life is broken. You got money now, vehicles now, you got what you desire in life, but you're still not satisfied or happy. That is an indication that something in your life is broken. It's not working right. You smile, but you really don't mean to smile. You say everything is all right, but everything is not all right because you're not handling it properly. Something is broken. And people on the outside that are discerning, sometimes we say an old saying, I don't know what it is, but it's something going on in his or her life. And see, God, he knows everything. God don't have to guess. He know. He know. And there are some young folk this morning, if the truth be told, right now where you are, either you're out of place or something in your life is broken. Your attitude ain't the way it normally is. You're known to be happy. You're not known to be whorish. What's going on? You haven't been known all your life to be disrespectful to God, to his church, talking about folk in the church. Where you get that from? Something is out of place. You don't normally have friends the way you have friends now. These type friends, where you get this from? Something going on in your life. You are in need of rest restoration. And finally, when someone is in need of restoration, it suggests, especially for young folk that have been in church most of their life, they have lost their fire. Lost their fire. Come to church, but not excited about church. Praying, but not praying effectively and fervently. Done lost that fire. Done lost that excitement. You're not hot. You're not cold. Hot being passionate, excited. Cold meaning refreshing. No, you're lukewarm. You're right in the middle. You done lost your fire. Don't read like you used to read. Don't listen to messages on YouTube or the podcast like you used to. You done lost the fire. Bottom line, the person has gotten into a backslidden state. In the church, but backslidden. Come to church, but backslidden. And see, whenever you and I find ourselves in one of these three places, or all of them, that is saying that that person is in need of restoration. Now, let me tell you something. And let me go ahead and just cut through the tension that I feel. In life, you're going to need to be restored. In life, that's just a part of life. There are going to be times in your life to where you need to be restored. The question is, do you want to be restored? There was one man in Scripture, in fact, who wrote Psalm 23. David was considered a man after God's own heart. But time and time again in his life, he needed to be restored. There were times where David was out of place, doing stuff he had no business doing. Times to where he was broken. Times to where he done backslid and so forth. But David would get restored. I need to show you just a couple of examples because I don't ever want you to think that you're the only one that has been there. There is nothing new under the sun. My thing as pastor is, what are you going to do about it? Follow me to Psalm 51. Y'all still with me? Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse number 12. Look at what David said here when he was in need of restoration. Psalm 51 and 12. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore my joy of being saved." David had got to the point to where he seemingly had stopped being excited about the things of God. And he recognized that he was out of place. And he said, "Lord, you got to restore the joy of my salvation." And see, joy is very important, young folk. We need to be happy about the things of God. We need to be excited about the things of God as a teenager, mid-20s, and beyond. Why? Because the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, is our strength. If I stop being excited about the things of God, I'm going to be weak and I'm going to faint and I'm going to backslide. So, Lord, I need you to restore the joy of my salvation. I don't want to find myself more excited about social media, more excited about movies, more excited about video games, more excited about my peers or even myself than I am about you. Lord, I got to make sure you are the reason why I get up in the morning. You are the reason why I give thanks for what I have and what you're doing in my life. Lord, I cannot lose the joy of my salvation. But see, there are some young folk and some young adults here at this service this morning. If the truth be told, you done lost it and you need to get it back. Woo, I said, you done lost something valuable and you need to get it back. What do I need to get back? I need to get back my fire. I need to get back my joy. I need to get back my prayer life. I need to get back my giving. I need to get back my witnessing. You got to look in your life and see, where do you need restoration? He said, return it. Give it back to me, Lord. I need joy when it comes to salvation or the things of God. Look at Psalm 80. Y'all flip to Psalm 80. I thought y'all would be about halfway happy by now. I ain't even got deep into the water yet. Look at somebody and ask, are you happy yet? Look at Psalm 80. Maybe this will get you happy. Psalm 80 in verse 3. Psalm 80. So David needed restoration of his joy. Then he says in Psalm 80 and 3, restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. Lord, we need your presence. That's what the shining of God's face represents. Lord, I need to feel your presence again. Lord, I want to feel your presence like I used to in my bedroom. Lord, I want to feel your presence again in your house. I want to feel your presence when I leave the house. Lord, restore it to us. Give it back to us, Lord. I need it back. See, David went through a period in his life to where he had made some bad choices, and the ark of God or the presence of God had left his house. And it went to another man's household by the name of Obed-Edom. And as long as God's face was shining on Obed-Edom's house, I believe the scriptures say for 60 or 90 days, the Lord blessed them because that's where his presence was. See, if God ever leaves your life, his blessings are going with him. His protection, his deliverance, and his salvation. And so when you recognize because you're out of place, broken, or lost your fire, and the Lord's presence is not with you, you need to make sure you get back in the place you need to be. You need to make sure that you look toward heaven and say, Lord, I need your face to shine back on me again. I've been smoking and I had no business smoking. I've been hoeing and I had no business hoeing. Lord, I need your face to shine back on me again. Because wherever God's presence is, or where the Spirit of the Lord is, young folk, there is liberty. I don't know about you, but I want God's salvation. I want his deliverance. I want his liberty in my life. Because if the presence of God ain't there, you have to ask the question, what spirit is there? If God's presence is not in your life, what spirit is in your presence? And so he says, restore it to us, Lord. Talking about a group of folk. He wasn't the only one. Is there anybody else in here you want what the pastor talking about this morning? You ought to just look toward heaven and say, restore us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Restore the trendsetters, Lord. Restore us. Cause your face to shine on us and we shall be saved. And so when you consider our text, what I really want to deal with in Psalm 23, David is testifying that the Lord is the restorer of his soul. He's boldly saying that the Lord is the one that restores his soul. Listen to me and listen to me good. David should not be the only one that has that testimony. You need to have the testimony that the Lord, he restores my soul. You need to have that testimony. You need to be able to look in your life and say, yeah, I may be out of place. I may be broken. I may have lost the fire. But the Lord, he restores my soul, my life. He is the one that did it. Not me, my God did it. So what does it mean to restore? A number of things, but three things the Spirit of God told me to teach the congregation this morning. Because the Lord wants to restore your life. He wants to restore not just one aspect of your life. Every aspect in your life where you're out of place. Every aspect in your life where you are broken or not working right. And every aspect in your life where you have lost your fire to serve God. He wants to restore it. And the Lord talking to a number of us in here. I ain't going to even ask you to raise your hand because it is so evident that he got our number this morning. First of all, he wants to renew. He wants to renew. From the sound room to the camera, all the way down to everyone in the blue chair to the pulpit that's in need of restoration, he wants to renew. He knows that you've been practicing sin. He knows you've been talking in ways a saint shouldn't talk, touching what a child of God shouldn't touch. And you said you were Christian. You said it. But you say it with your mouth, Jesus said, but your heart is far from him, or your actions. Anybody can say they Christian, but you have to judge the tree by the fruit. And so the Lord is not here to condemn you because he know. He already know. Ain't no need of trying to play no game. He know. Hid it from your mama, hid it from the preacher, hid it from others, but it's not hid from the Lord, because whatever is done in the dark, he'll bring it to the light. And it's best that God bring it to the light in a setting like this, instead of him pulling the cover off and you being the example for everybody else. I would rather God step on my toes right here and I keep looking straight and nobody know that the Lord got my number than to me to start playing these games and I be the one in August to where he say, you didn't want to get right? Well, let me make you the example in front of everybody. No. He know. God know. Ain't no need of talking about you going to jail. Ain't no need of talking about you getting high, drunk, whore, and so. He know. But what is he saying to you this morning? Or saying to us, I want to renew you. He used Isaiah, one prophet. Listen, in Isaiah 1, he said, though your sins are like scarlet. And he was talking to the people of God. Basically saying, though your sins are obvious. He said, I want to wash them and make you like snow. I want to renew you. I want to clean you up. You've been saying you child of God, but you've been acting like sinner. But I want to clean you up. I'm not going to throw you away. I want you to come on back because I can clean you with my word. I can sanctify you with my word. If all you got to do is just realize, I want to renew you. I want to get you back, not just to the place you used to be. I want you to be in a better place. But you got to realize this is what I want to do for you. You got to want it. I want to clean you up. That means you got to be honest. Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. My righteousness, one prophet said, has been as filthy rags. You've been saying you right. But the Bible says your righteousness is just like a woman's tampon. That's the filthy rags that he's talking about. Your righteousness is just that nasty. But the Lord is saying, no, I want to clean you up. Woo! And if there's anybody that can clean us up, it's Jesus. His blood is pure. He can wash us not only with the word, but with his blood. I got to get you back holy. I got to get you back honorable. Yeah, you ain't honorable right now. You a slap mess. And see, if you die in that sin, you're going to reap death. But I don't want that to happen. I want to clean you up. I want to transform your life. I don't want you to be whole no more. I don't want you to be using drugs no more. I don't want you to be cussing and lying no more. I don't want you living a fake life. I don't want you as a young woman in there kissing and hugging and touching with another young woman. I want to clean you up. I want to renew you. Good God Almighty. And if there's anybody that can renew, again, it's our Jesus. Because if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. God wants to renew you. He knew you were going to be here this morning. He wants to clean you up from your toe up. Your total life, he wants to clean you up. The second thing to restore, it means to restart. He wants to restart, give you a totally clean slate. He wants to do you, like he said in Scripture, throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And then the Bible says he will remember them no more. That sounds like a clean slate to me. God want to give some of us in here a restart. Yeah, you're 20, but you need a restart. You in leadership, but you need a do-over. I want to renew you and give you another start. I'm going to give you another opportunity. You said you'd never do it again, but here we are. I'm a God that will still clean you up and give you another opportunity. Somebody ought to be thanking God right now. Somebody ought to be just waving their hand saying, thank you, Jesus, for a restart. You know, there was a man in Scripture by the name of Nicodemus. He didn't understand that Jesus could give him a restart. He could save him. He said, man, how can a man be born again? What, can I go into my mother's womb again and be born again? No, when a person repents and gives their life to the Lord, it's as if the Lord is giving them a fresh started life. God wants to save somebody again. The final thing restore suggests or means calls to recover. You lost something along the way. You was active in ministry, but you lost that. God want to cause you to recover that. You had a good job, but because of your ways, you lost it. God want to cause you to get it back. Had a good relationship with your parents could trust you. But because of your behavior, they can't trust you. God want you to recover that. He wants you to get that relationship back. See, there are some things you lose in life, young folk, it's very valuable. And you need to make it about your business to get those things back. Yeah, sometimes we mess up and we lose stuff. But if it's valuable to you, the Lord can help you get it back. God was using you in ministry, but you lost that. But the good news is you can get it. You can get it back. So how, Pastor? How do we receive restoration from the Lord? What do I need to do? You done told me what restoration is. How do I get it back? That's how some of y'all looking right now while I'm teaching this morning. How do I get it back? Who in here want it back? Who wants the restoration of the Lord? Your question need to be how then, Pastor? How? I want to show you how. and then I'm going to be done. Because I want you to be restored. But it's up to you. The Lord can desire it all day. But you and I have to work out our own soul salvation. You got to do it. So let's go to 2 Chronicles. Y'all still with me? All right, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. Not Corinthians, but Chronicles. Now, I'm going to step a little bit on this point right here, but sometime the preacher got to step. All right? So don't let me become your enemy because I give you the truth. Just go ahead, receive it, and give God the glory. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If, see, it's a choice. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. But this is the point. He gives them several things. He said, humble themselves, pray, seek their face. Then the last thing he says, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Sound like restoration to me. I hear your prayer, I forgive you, and then I heal you or restore you. Y'all see it? But they had to do something. They had to humble themselves, pray, seek his face. But the one the Spirit of the Lord told me to deal with is turn from their wicked ways. You got to turn. You cannot be fully restored doing what you've been doing and asking the Lord to help you out. No, you got to turn. You got to lay aside weight and sin or wickedness. You got to stop. Take the taste out, mama. No, ain't no taste. Put the bottle down. Turn from your wicked ways. Lord, make this girl get out of my life. No, cut off. Leave her alone. Turn from your wicked ways. If you want to be restored, quit buying dope from the dope man. Quit going to the gas station buying cigarettes. Bottom line, turn from your wicked way. Take the money, put it in the savings account. But Lord, I'm fiending, I got to have it. Deny yourself. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop looking at porn. Bottom line, take the app off your phone. Don't download it again. If it sends you a notification, turn the notifications off. I'm turning from my wicked ways. When they FaceTime you, if it's a wicked friend, don't answer the phone. Well, they text me because I didn't pick up the phone. Don't answer the text. Where they came by the house to see what was going on. Don't go to the door. What do you call that? Turning from your wicked ways. It's comical, but it's just the truth. The devil ain't making you do it. He don't make me do it. It's our choice. It's our choice. So look in your life and say, man, where have I backslid at? Where have I messed up at? I got to stop that. I got to turn from that. Now, God will give me the strength not to fall into temptation, but it starts with me repenting or turning. That's where it starts with. Don't keep watching homosexual movies on Netflix . Turn from it. It's going to suggest them to you because that's what you've been watching. Send your email. We found a good movie for you. Because you know that algorithm, once it figure out what you like, it's going to feed you. So you have to change that algorithm and start turning from it. Amazon recommend hood movies to me. You know why? I watch hood movies. They be about the same thing. Somebody trying to come out the hood. Somebody trying to stop selling drugs. I like watching them kind of movies. So you know what they do? They keep recommending them to me. But when I stop watching hood movies and start watching my nature stuff, now all of a sudden when sharks attack and I'm getting the 10 deadliest snakes and I'm getting all these other things, it's just feeding me what I've been consuming. So you have to turn from it. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but that's a good example. That's some good teaching right there. I might well go on to say that. That's good teaching. But you got to turn from it. Don't let your boys that you said was in the gang with you, don't let them ride with you no more. Well, you know, we ride together, we die. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ride together and die together? Do you realize what you're saying? Just start with, we ain't riding together. Don't pick them up no more. You square man, you think you all that? You trying to be this and that? Yes, I am trying to be this and that. I'm not going to be that no more. I'm turning from my wicked ways. This is if you want to be restored. This grown folk talk right here. This grown Christian stuff right here, if you're going to be for real, authentic, or wholehearted, you just got to come to terms with the wickedness that you've been choosing in life. And God will restore you. I done told this story plenty of times when I was younger. I was doing some stuff I had no business doing, and God couldn't help me. I couldn't grow. Until I just came clean. Lord, I've been doing what I ain't got no business doing. Please forgive me. I'm turning. I ain't doing it no more. And my wickedness had to do with other people. Because I was doing stuff with other people. And so the first ones to notice was the other people. They would ask me, why you don't come around no more? Why you don't call me no more? No, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. I had this one young lady. I'll never forget this. She was, at the time, my friend's sister. And she came to my dorm room and just laid on my bed and just like, what you want to do? I didn't tell her what I wanted to do because, you know, death and life. Is in the power of the tongue. And I said, no, I'm friends with your brother. I can't do stuff like that. No, I don't do stuff. It's, and she was like, you sure? I'm turning from my wicked ways. And it be real like that. Stuff be staring you in the face. It be real to you. How many know what I'm talking about? Stuff be real. Man, do this, you can make $2,000. Just do this right here, $2,000, 20 minutes of your time. 20 minutes of your time, $2,000. And you like, woo, that's a come up. But fail to realize 20 minutes of your time can cost 25 years of your life. You have to be like, no, that's some good money, but I'm turning. 2 Kings, let's go to 2 Kings. So if we want to be restored, what's the first thing we need to do? Turn. 2 Kings 5. I had some saints that watched the messages on YouTube while y'all turning to 2 Kings. And both of them on the same day, or one day after the other, told me the same exact thing. They said, "Dog, Baker, you just raw with it." I said, "Yeah, ain't no need of beating around the bush. Might as well just come on and tell these young folk how life is. Ain't no need of beating around the bush in God's house. Because the church, the Bible says, is the pillar of truth. If you need to hear the truth, it need to be coming forth in God's house." And so I ain't got time to play with it. I got 50 good minutes every Sunday to work it out. 2 Kings 5 and 10. Y'all ready? Let me try the rest of y'all. Y'all ready? So if you want restoration, we need to do this. "And Elijah sent a messenger to him, 'Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be," help me, "restored to you, and you shall be clean." There was a man who had an ailment in his body. And the prophet Elijah said to his messenger, "Go tell him to just dip in this particular river 7 times in this water, and then he's going to be restored and cleansed." Okay? Now, when you read the story, the man had a problem with what was said. But the key is in what Elijah teaches us. Just obey the sent messenger. If you want to be restored, just obey the sent messenger. Elijah sent his armor bearer with a message and said, "Go tell him, do this, and he'll be restored." God does not change. He uses his shepherds and his prophets week in and week out to tell God's people a message. Do this and you'll be restored. Do that and you'll be productive. Do this and God will do this. You have to learn as a young person. Learn it right now. Obey the sent messenger. Whatever God uses his messenger to put on the table, young folk, if you want your life to be better, you have to learn how to obey those that have the rule over you. Well, God used pastor to say such and such, and he showed me in the word, line upon line, it lines up with the will of God. I need to obey that. Now, if I come in here and I'm trying to act like God said something, and I'm not lining it up with the written word, you don't have to obey me. You don't follow no blind leader. Because the leader and the one following, the Bible says they both gonna end up in the ditch. So as a young person, if you want restoration, you just do what the message say this morning. Bottom line. That's if you want restoration. Now, when the invitation is given, you get to see where you at. Bottom line, if you're going to obey or not. And some of you, you like me, you sitting there, I ain't waiting for no invitation. I'm doing it while I'm sitting in my chair. But that's just how God does things. He will not do nothing except he reveal his secrets through his servants, the prophets. And so God wants to restore you, young man. God wants to restore you, young woman. All you got to do is put into action what the messenger is saying. So we have two ways to get restoration. Turn from what? Wicked ways. Obey the sent messenger. And finally, let's go to Job, and we're closing it out. Job 42. Job 42. This is an encouraging message. Lord have mercy. It's tight, but it's so encouraging. Job 42 and 10. No, there are some messages, young folk, that just need to set where you sit. That you need to just scoot over and let me sit right here with you. And let you know how much I love you. That's God. He corrects those whom he loves. Last verse, Job 42 and 10. Thank y'all for your patience. "And the Lord restored Job's losses." Look at this. "When he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job got his restoration when he prayed about the source of his problems. See, his friends was bringing him a whole bunch of problems. And so Job decided, you know what? I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray for them. I'm already going through, but I'm going to pray for my problem friends. And the Bible said that's when God restored him. When he started worshiping God through prayer, God gave him bigger and better. Gave him twice more. He was already a wealthy man, but God gave him twice that. What is that saying to us, young folk? When you pray on today about your issues, you put it before the Lord. You let him know, Lord, I'm turning from this. God is going to restore you. When you repent, I'm not going to tell you what to say. You put it in your own words. God is going to restore you. That's the whole mission today, for you to see that you're out of place. You're broken and you done lost your fire. But the good news is God wants to restore you. And the way it's going to happen is based upon your actions. If you repent, you pray, you obey, God going to restore you. And for some of you, it's been taking place while you've been sitting at your chair. Because God done had your number so hard, it's got you feeling some kind of way. That's just God letting you know, look, I mean what I say. And I'm ready to do what I've been saying. But the choice is yours. I'm ready to restore your soul. I'm ready to restore your life. You're backslidden, but I'm ready to give you a restart. I'm ready to clean you up, to give you a renewal. I'm ready to give you restoration. And with that being said, we're going to close the book. We're going to stand to our feet. And we're just going to pray. I'm going to stop the teaching right there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.